Thank you, Eleni. That's such a pretty song. Well, good morning again. I knew my cue that time. I got it, so that's good. Someday, maybe, I'll get the hang of this Sunday morning thing. So let me just say a word as we get started about how we'll take communion today. It's going to be at the conclusion of the sermon. At the conclusion of the sermon, there's going to be a special drama. When that drama finishes, I'll be the first to take communion. And then two stations are going to be formed on either side of the stage. Rows are going to be dismissed from the back, and you're going to be invited to come forward to take communion at one of the two stations. We're taking it a little bit differently today, breaking bread and dipping it, and simply just follow my example. As the rows start to be dismissed, I would just say at that point, I would encourage, if you're in the balcony, go ahead and make your way down and join in the line at that point. If you're not physically able to get up today, once we begin the process, just raise your hand and we are going to have servers that can come to you if that would be better for you today. After we finish taking the Lord's Supper, as we come forward and take it, we'll have you exit on the two side aisles, and at that point, the service is going to be over. We're going to end with the Lord's Supper today, and so you're dismissed at that point, and after you take the Lord's Supper and you exit, we would just kind of like to end on a quiet, meditative note today. So, sound okay? Everybody good with that? Well, are you ready for Christmas? Whether you are or not, it doesn't matter, because it's here. You know, look at the lights around us. Some of you this morning are ready for Christmas. You've already done all of your shopping for the church staff. You've got that marked off already. You've checked your list twice. You've already been baking and delivering cookies. Your house is aglow in such a way that Clark Griswold would be proud of you, I'm sure. You've been singing along with Mariah Carey and Bing Crosby for weeks. You got your Christmas sweater on, and you're ready for the holidays. But there are probably some here today who are struggling to find that Christmas spirit. Maybe this morning you feel a little bit like Charlie Brown from the classic special. And Charlie struggled to find the meaning of Christmas in the midst of all the stress and the busy set schedules and the aluminum Christmas trees. In the classic holiday special, Charlie Brown confides to his friend Linus that he just is having a hard time getting into Christmas, that rather than feeling happy, that he was feeling blue and empty. His sister Sally's selfish gift list, Lucy's greedy desire for real estate, Snoopy's gaudy light display, and his failed directorial debut all contribute to Charlie's disillusionment with Christmas. And finally, at his lowest point, Charlie asks, "What is Christmas all about?" And in response, faithful Linus shares with him the true Christmas story from the Bible about a Savior being born in Bethlehem. And it's from that point forward, if you remember, that Charlie's outlook changes. When our Christmas celebration is rooted in the biblical Christmas story, then it is possible to have hope and joy this season. This morning, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, I would like for us to just answer a simple question. What is Christmas all about? The Apostle Paul answers this question in Galatians 4, 4 and 5. It's a simple passage. It's one of my favorite Christmas passages. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. It says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." First, Christmas is about God's timing. Paul writes, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son." You know, sometimes we struggle with God's timing. We wonder why God doesn't act. We pray and we wait for answers to come. We pray to God and ask that he would hear our prayer. And we say, like the prophets of old, "How long, O Lord? How long?" And perhaps from an earthly vantage point, it seems that God is slow in responding. But Christmas reminds us that God has a different schedule and calendar and clock than we do. Christmas teaches us that God is always at work, but sometimes God answers our prayers and he meets our needs in a surprising way, and it may be according to a time schedule that we may not fully be able to understand this side of eternity. The Bible explains when the set time had fully come, or more traditionally, in the fullness of time, God acted and he sent his Son into the world at the first Christmas. And I find that expression so moving, the fullness of time. It's full of mystery and hope. 2,000 years ago, God in his wisdom decreed that it was the right time for heaven and earth to be joined together again, going all the way back to Eden. And for a brief moment, God's timing and calendar and the world's timing and calendar were one. And God sent his Son into the world to be born in a stable in Bethlehem. Why did God choose this particular time for the Savior to be born? And I think we could use our imagination and we can wonder. From a historical and political perspective, the world was ready for the Savior to be born. 300 years before Jesus' birth, Alexander the Great had spread the Greek culture and the common Greek language throughout the biblical world, making intercultural communication and the sharing of religious ideas possible. Closer to Jesus' day, the Romans, through military force, had brought international stability and law and order to the Mediterranean world. The Roman peace, and along with the Romans' great road system which they built, which linked all of the different regions of the empire together, opened the door for safe travel for missionaries to go out into the world and to share the Christian faith. These political and historical circumstances created an ideal situation for Jesus to be born into the world and for his story and gospel to spread and to be shared to all people. But even though history was prepared for Jesus' arrival, perhaps even more significantly, hearts were spiritually ready for God's intervention in time. Jesus entered a world that was spiritually hungry for truth, for hope, for meaning, in short, hungry for God, not unlike our world today. God heard the longings and the prayers and the cries of believers searching for him, believers like Simeon at the temple or the Magi from the east. And he responded to the prayer in a surprising way by sending his Son into the world. I love the song that Eleni just sung a few moments ago. It's a beautiful song, and I think it gives voice to humanity's longing for God's arrival at Christmas time, both past and present. Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised. We've been waiting. Welcome, holy child. Hope you don't mind our manger. How I wish we would have known. But long-awaited, holy stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Christmas is about God's timing, the specific moment in time when God sent his Son into the world. Second, Christmas is about God's plan. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. A little boy climbed onto Santa's lap and asked the usual question, "What do you want for Christmas?" The little boy kind of looked at Santa in disbelief and gasped and said, "Well, didn't you get my text message?" Sorry about that. That's bad. Sorry. For thousands of years, God sent messages. Many people weren't listening, however. God sent messages about himself through Israel's spiritual leaders, people like Moses and David and Isaiah. But through Jesus, God sent himself. Christmas is about God entering the world. Matthew 1:23 reveals the true meaning of Christmas. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas is about remembering 2,000 years ago, the creator of the universe entered time and space. He became a human being. He was born of a woman, a real birth. He was born under the law. He had a Jewish birth, a Jewish male. The mystery of God with us is at the heart of Christmas. The author Max Lucado reflects on the mystery and the wonder of the first Christmas. He writes, God became a man. While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent in one instant made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He was larger than the universe, became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and he floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near. He came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla. Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. Were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. The universe watched with wonder as the Almighty learned to walk. Children played in the street with him, and had the synagogue leader in Nazareth known who was listening to his sermons. Jesus may have had pimples. He may have been tone deaf. Perhaps a girl down the street had a crush on him. It could be that his knees were bony. One thing's for sure, he was, while completely divine, completely human. For 33 years, he would feel everything you and I ever felt. He felt weak, he felt weary, he was afraid of failure, he got colds, he got tired, his head ached. To think of Jesus in such a light is, well, it almost seems irreverent. It's not something we like to do, it's uncomfortable. It's much easier to keep the humanity out of the incarnation. Clean the manure from around the manger. Wipe the sweat out from his eyes. Pretend he never snored or blew his nose or hit his thumb with a hammer. He's easier to stomach that way. There is something about keeping him divine that keeps him distant, packaged, and predictable. But don't do it. For heaven's sake, don't. Let him be as human as he intended to be. Let him into the mire and the muck of our world. For only if we let him in can he pull us out. The hope of Christmas is the incarnation. It's the idea that God took on human flesh. It's Emmanuel, God with us. Through the baby Jesus, God got down on our level. He made himself known and accessible. And then he showed us the way back to him through Christ. Christmas teaches us that we can know God in God's love in a deeply personal way. This morning, if you're struggling, if you're a little blue this Christmas, remember that you're not alone because God has come near. Christmas is about God's timing. It's about his plan. Finally, Christmas is about God's purpose. Why did God send Jesus into the world? Paul answers this question in Galatians 4 and 5. God sent his Son to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. The baby in the manger would grow up to be the man Jesus who would die on a Roman cross to take away the sins of the world. God sent his son at that first Christmas time, Paul says, to redeem, to free the world from sin, and to make it possible to be adopted into his family through faith and through baptism. Two familiar verses capture the purpose of Christmas. Think of the message of the angel to Joseph in Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. In John 1:12. Yet to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amid all the lights and all the sounds and all the busyness of the Christmas season, like Charlie Brown, the world asks, what is Christmas all about? Christmas is about the lengths that God has gone, the sacrifice that God has made to welcome us back into his family. What do you think Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, did on the day after that first Christmas? There's a drama that imagines that Joseph, being a carpenter, built a crib for the baby Jesus following his birth. And Joseph thought to himself, no child of mine is going to ever sleep again in a manger. In that moment in the drama, as Joseph is pounding away to make the crib with a hammer, Joseph thinks to himself, if they treated him like this as a baby, I wonder how they will treat him when they find out that he is in fact the Son of God. And then the lights darken, and at that moment, all you hear is the pounding of a hammer against a nail.